Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Once you find your place, if you're able to stand, do you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 22 and 23. All right, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for, again, another day. What a gift. What a beautiful gift today, beautiful sunshiny day. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to be here in your house, singing praises to our Savior. Father, I pray we've come prepared with our hearts and our minds to receive from your word with gladness, that we're ready to apply the things that we learn to our life, take them out and share them with others. Father, we thank you for each one here. I pray that you'd speak to each heart individually, and looking forward to it. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just point one thing out real quick. Notice that verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." Notice it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have all of this. But everyone seeks peace in their life, right? We all want to have peace. People are yelling and screaming, peace, peace, peace. We need peace all around the world. Peace, peace, right? I want peace, I want peace, I want peace. There are two places that we can find peace. You can find peace in the world, but it's a peace that the world gives. It's a peace that teaches that there's peace that the lost world provides. The world provides not the same kind of peace that God provides, but a different peace. We can see this peace the world gives in the likes of George Soros, Bill Gates, Ted Turner. They have all kinds of money, right? In fact, they have more money than they'll ever know what to do with. And you ask them how much is enough, and they'll say a little bit more. Their peace comes with having the things of this world. Not what the Bible teaches, though, is it? Many believe that if they have enough money, they'll have peace. Right? You get enough money, you'll go out and buy the most expensive vehicle you can find, and you'll drive it for 6 months, and you'll have this peace and contentment. And after about 6 months, that newness is worn off, and you no longer have that peace. Time to go find another one. See, the peace that this world gives is not lasting. It's not the peace that God gives us. These people can walk around and have peace because they're experiencing all the things the world can give them. The Bible tells us we're not supposed to be of the world. We're in the world, right? I mean, we have to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. These men are of the world. They're walking around experiencing all the things that this world provides. And yet, it's a fleeting peace. It is a great mystery, though, how some can have peace even when things aren't going well. When things are going horribly bad, they can still have peace. It's amazing. The reason that they can is because they have a peace that only comes from God. that peace that comes from God. So I was studying for this. I came across this. There's a man by the name of Horatio Gates Spafford. Many will know who this is when I get a little further along here. He was a Christian attorney that lived in Chicago and went through some very difficult times in his life. In 1870, his only son, Horatio Jr., at 4 years old, died suddenly of scarlet fever. He was in the Chicago fire of 1871, where over 100,000 were left homeless, and over 300 died. Spafford, for 2 years, unselfishly helped to assist the needs of the homeless, impoverished, and those grief-stricken by the fire. Horatio G. Spafford was known throughout Chicago as a sincere, devout Christian. After 2 years of such work, in November of 1873, Spafford and his family decided to take a vacation to London, England. He wanted to join his good friend Dwight L. Moody in one of his evangelistic campaigns in England. However, just as the Spaffords were preparing to leave, Horatio was unexpectedly detained by urgent business concerns in Chicago. The decision was made that his wife Anna and their daughters, 11-year-old Anna, 9-year-old Margaret Lee, 5-year-old Elizabeth, and 2-year-old Tanita, would continue on as scheduled to England. Once Spafford had resolved all his business concerns, he would catch up with them. On November 22, 1873, while crossing the Atlantic on the steamship, their vessel was struck by an iron sailing ship. 226 people lost their lives as the steamship sank within only 12 minutes. All four of Horatio Spafford's daughters perished. But remarkably, Anna Spafford survived the tragedy. Those rescued, including Anna, who was found unconscious, floating on a plank of woods, subsequently arrived in Cardiff, South Wales. Upon arrival there, Anna immediately sent a telegram to her husband, which included these words: "Saved, alone." Horatio immediately set sail to join his grief-stricken wife. As the ship that he was traveling on passed the approximate location of where his daughters had drowned, it is reported that due to his deep sorrow mingled with his unwavering faith in God's goodness, he penned the words of his now famous hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Listen to these words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. O Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the cloud shall be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so, it is well with my soul." The refrain is, "It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." I hope none of us have to endure the tragedies that this man went through. But I can tell you that if we live long enough, tragedy is going to come. We're all going to be touched with it. It's going to find its way into our lives. For some, it's going to be declining health. There's not going to be a doctor or a drug that can help them. For others, it'll be great financial loss. And for some, it'll be the death of a loved one, such as a child, a parent, or even a spouse. But no matter what storm in life we face, God gives us a peace that is not based on that outward circumstance. It would be great if all the nations were at peace one with another. That'd be great. But that's not the case. It's not the case. Let me tell you today, if some radical Muslim came through the door today, they'd be well pleased to open fire and take out every one of us with a smile on their face as they walk back out the door. We see hate in the world today. We see lots of hate in the world today. We look at the lives of many in this country, the United States of America, a great country to be a citizen of. And yet, we look around and we see a lack of peace and a lot of anger. Just this last June in Coeur d'Alene, a gunman set fire on Canfield Mountain, luring the fire department out there. When they got there, he opens fire, killing two of them and injuring a third. Hate and anger. Last Sunday in Michigan, a man drove his pickup into the front of a church, opened fire, set the building on fire. People lost their lives that day. Hundreds, they said, were in that building at the time. Just two incidents that have happened, but I hate to say it, unfortunately, there will be many more. We live in a world with a lack of peace and a lot of anger. Everyone wants peace, right? We all want peace. But many who seek to have peace have been misinformed as to how we get it. It's unfortunate. Many think that they only have peace if they have an absence of problems, right? Well, that's not true. There can be people out there that don't have any problems, but they still have no peace. They don't have the peace of God in their lives. God put peace within His children that flows like a river. Thankful for the peace and the joy and the love of God. And again, the peace of God is different than the peace the world gives us. It's not the same. I've said for years, material things are nice, but they're not important. I can tell you, when I got here this morning, I was thankful for a building here. Thankful for lighting. Some were thankful for the heat. Thankful for pews to sit on. Thankful that God's given us all of this. But if it wasn't here, we could still have peace. Our peace is not in material things. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus tells us right there, He does not give us the same peace the world gives us. It's different. Quite a bit different. Not even close to the same. The world's peace comes from without. person may not be saved, but if everything is going well in their life, they have a certain kind of peace from this world. God's peace comes from within. It's different. Thank God for it. Even though things aren't going so well on the outside, we can still have peace on the inside. The lost man is at war with God every single day. Every single day. But when the Lord saves us, we have the peace of God. No longer at war with our Creator. New believers will tell you how wonderful it felt after they got saved. And then they immediately begin to experience this peace of God in their life. God wants every lost person to experience that peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." It's a wonderful thing to have peace with God. But he also provides us with peace with others. Peace with others. One of the greatest changes that we can see in a man's life after he is saved is his attitude towards others. We can't look at a man's heart and see if he has peace with God. We can't look into his heart and see if he has peace with himself. But we can see by the way he treats others if he has peace with others. Peace God gives overflows out toward others. Once we come to know the Lord, we want to live at peace with others. In other words, we should be willing to go the extra mile to live at peace with others. Once we accept the Lord and Savior, we no longer hate those who are of a different social level. We no longer hate those that are of a different race. We no longer hate those that don't think the way we think. A lot of what's going on today with the hate and all is because you don't think like I think, so you need to be exterminated. And it's wrong. We cannot go to heaven hating people that are different than us. If we could, heaven would be no different than here on earth. Often have said, if we want to enjoy all the pleasures of heaven, why don't we start acting like it down here? Start enjoying those things down here by doing the things that we will be doing up there. When God saves us, he makes us into born-again creatures prepared for heaven. It's true. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Romans 12:18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." It'd be good if everybody would read that and heed that, right? We cannot make everyone be at peace with us. If we could, these wars that are going on in Israel and Ukraine and Sudan and on and on and on and on and on would all come to an end. If we could make everyone live at peace, we can't do it. But we can make every effort to go the extra mile to live at peace with fellow man. When we have peace with God and peace with others, we can have peace within ourselves. Every single born-again believer in Jesus Christ at one time was at enmity with God. Every single one of us. I found this an interesting story. Two Arabs boarded a shuttle out of Washington for New York. One sat in the window seat and the other in the middle seat. Just before takeoff, a little Israeli guy got on and took an aisle seat next to the Arabs. He kicks his shoes off, wiggles his toes, and settles in. When the Arab in the window seat said, "I think I'll go up and get a Coke." "No problem," said the Israeli. "I'll get it for you." While he was gone, the Arab picked up the Israeli shoe and spit in it. When the Israeli returned with the Coke, the other Arab said, "That looks good. I think I'll have one too." Again, the Israeli obligingly went to fetch it. While he's gone, the other Arab picked up the other shoe and spit in it. The Israeli returned with the Coke, and they all sat back and enjoyed the short flight to New York. As the plane was landing, the Israeli slipped his feet into his shoes and knew immediately what had happened. He stood up and said, "How long must this go on? This enmity between our peoples, this hatred, this animosity, this spitting in shoes and this spitting in Coke has got to stop." It's got to stop, folks. This is ridiculous that we treat one another so poorly based on where we were born, our skin color. I had people look down on me because I told them I was born in Massachusetts. I said, "It's part of the United States, folks. I can't change it." You know, nowhere in the whole history of my life did God say, "Where would you like to be born?" It didn't happen. I was born where He had me to be born. I was born the color of skin He'd have me to be. I was born to the parents that He gave me. It was all God's doing. I had nothing to do with it. I just got to arrive. And if the doctor had his way, I'd have been born in Guam. But my mom wouldn't listen to him. So I was born in Massachusetts. When we have God's peace, enmity stops and we have peace with others. But also we can have peace within ourselves. Many are trying to have peace when they do not know the Prince of Peace. It's hard to have peace when you don't know the Prince of Peace. He's the one that gives us peace. Many are trying to have peace, but they're not willing to live at peace with others. In fact, it might have been Friday that Brother O'Brien posted again. They bombed a pig farm, killing 13,000 pigs, trying to wipe out the food supply for the Ukrainians, starve them to death. Other things aren't seeming to work, right? So they're going to try and starve them to death. When will this stop? I'll tell you when it stops. When Putin gets saved. We need to be praying for him. If we don't, nobody will. It's only when we have peace with God and peace with others that we can have peace with ourselves. The Holy Spirit can provide the peace that we're looking for. Again, some will say definition of peace is the absence of conflict, but that's not right.
There's no truth to that. You can have conflict in your life or no conflict in your life and still not have peace. But you can also have conflict in your life and still have peace. So the question this morning is, have you made peace with God? At peace with God, the most amazing thing that you could ever do. Not saying a truce. A truce is, God, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side, and we'll get along fine, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying making a peace with God, accepting that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and having peace with God. Peace is what will take place when you acknowledge your sins, believe that Jesus died for you as he went to the cross, laid down his life, and took it up again. And then we receive him by faith. Benjamin, 22, and William, 19, Hewling, were tried and condemned to death. Their sister gave this account. This is what I call about having peace when you're in the midst of a trial. They with great cheerfulness, and I quote, they with great cheerfulness professed that they were better and in more happy condition than ever in their lives, from the sense they had of the pardoning love of God in Jesus Christ to their souls, wholly referring themselves to their wise and gracious God to choose for them life or death. We know he is able to deliver, but if not, blessed be his name. Death is not terrible now, but desirable. As for the world, there is nothing in it to make it worthwhile to live, except we may be serviceable to God therein. Oh, God is a strong refuge. I have found him so indeed. They were sentenced to death for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their propagating of the gospel. William, at the time of his execution, wrote these lines to a friend, quote, I am going to launch into eternity, I hope and trust, into the arms of my blessed Redeemer, to whom I commit you and all my dear relations. End quote. Benjamin received news of his brother's execution with great assurance and comfort, and as the hour of his own execution was near, he said, quote, when I have considered others under these circumstances, I have thought it very dreadful, but now God hath called me to it. I can cheerfully embrace it as an easy passage to glory, and though death separates from the enjoyments of each other here, it will be for a very short time, and then we shall meet in such enjoyments as now we cannot conceive of, and forever enjoy each other's happiness. End quote. Even knowing they were going to be executed, they could have peace, because it was a peace that God gave them, not a peace that the world gives. God's grace is sufficient no matter what the circumstances are. No matter what we're going through, God's grace will get us through it. But because they knew the peace of God, they could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of their Lord to meet their need. And let me add, so can we. So can we. So are you searching for peace in all the wrong places? Or are you seeking peace in the one that can give true and lasting peace? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word. Thankful for a peace that we can have. A peace that comes from you. A peace that outlasts any tragedy that might come along. Any circumstance that we might find ourselves in. And as I read about the Hewling brothers, even facing death, we can still have peace. Father, I pray we're not looking for peace in worldly things, but seeking it in the only place that it can truly be found. And this morning, Father, as always, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, for those of us who have, I pray that we have that peace that passeth all understanding. And that we're living our lives and showing others that we can live peacefully with them because of the peace that we have that comes from within. We can have that peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. So as we have a time of invitation again, as always, we turn it over to you, Father. You have free reign in our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able to stand. As the piano plays this morning, if you need to come, you come.